nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Similar to the baptism of our Lord, is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Thus far the text. You baptized Christians are God's chosen people. He has called you by his name, and so you are his. Just as he is your shepherd, you are his sheep. So what does it mean to be chosen of God? In the epistle text, St. Paul tells you, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. So God's chosen are the foolish in the eyes of the world. The Greek word for foolish is moros. This is where the word moron comes from. In other words, through God's choosing what the world considers morons, he puts to shame those who consider themselves smart people. But God does the galaxy. Oh, stop there. To be one of God's chosen is not only to be foolish in the world's eyes, it's to be weak, lowly, and despised. To be a Christian is to be in last place, at least in the eyes of the world. St. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. There is a great wisdom in the Lord's choosing of the most unlikely people to be his own. God is making the point that you dare not rely upon your own smarts, your own strength, your own character, or your own popularity. You're not to rely on these to gauge your standing before God. As Luther, one of his last writings, said to be found in his pocket upon his death, speaking of Christians, we are beggars. This is true. You have nothing to boast about except, as St. Paul states, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. In selecting ancient nomadic sheep herders to be his chosen people, God was making it clear that being chosen is a matter of grace. For God did not choose the richest people, the most civilized, the most scientifically advanced, the greatest builders, the most literate, or even the most religious. God simply selected a man named Abram from Mesopotamia and revealed himself to this man and his descendants, promising them a land and a national identity from which would come the chosen one of the chosen people, the Christ, the Savior of the world. It was the Lord God that made Israel great, not the other way around. It was Israel that was on the receiving end of undeserved mercy. When the Lord chose to dwell among you in the flesh, in the eyes of the world, he chose a very ordinary, lowly young woman to become his mother. And yet, by God's grace, she was extraordinary in her confession of faith, for she confessed Christ, the Messiah. God took the form of a baby who would be laid in a feeding trough, who grew up in humble circumstances, surrounded by people who were neither famous nor rich by the world's standards. And in his earthly ministry, the Lord called to himself a collection of apostles who were quite a motley crew of misfits. Men who failed miserably under pressure, who come off looking like cowards in the gospel accounts, but eventually, by the grace of God, they are able to do all things through Christ crucified and risen, who became their strength. The Lord preached and won converts from among the cast-offs of society, lepers and demonics, prostitutes and corrupt tax collectors, thieves and even terrorists. The Lord chose the foolish, the weak, the lowly, and the despised to start and continue his church. And he did it to confound the overconfident, the self-satisfied, the smug, righteous and those admired of this world. For what is a better display of grace? What is a better display of undeserved, unearned favor than for a person to be chosen whose unworthiness is laid bare for all to see? That's why you come to church. I hope people understand that you go because you're sinners. While those who in the eyes of the world think they deserve more and better from God just eliminated themselves because they believe it's by their efforts and their works. Today, the church remembers the baptism of our Lord. God himself stooped down not only to take on human flesh, but to submit to a baptism he had no need of. Jesus willingly joins the ranks of the foolish, the weak, the lonely, and the despised, or the lowly, and the despised by coming to a baptism designed for sinners. But why? Why does he allow an unworthy sinner to baptize him, the only worthy, sinless one? Why? Well, as Jesus said it to John the Baptist, it was done to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill his righteousness? No. That's why he's in the water. He does it for you. For your righteousness. The Father claims his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased, passing over the world's kings, priests, generals, scholars, men of might, men of fame, men of wealth, to announce to the world that his true Son is the one who submits to a sinner's baptism of repentance. The Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. And the triune God is revealed to the world in a way that shows the Lord's embrace of the lowly, the way of God's exaltation of the despised of this world is revealed as Christ steps into the water for you. Notice this about holy baptism, both that of the Lord and yours in the name of the Lord. They both likewise use something lowly, common water. The Lord Jesus is not showered in rose petals or gold coins, nor is he given a grand tribute. He's not bathed in precious oils or placed upon a royal throne. Instead, the Lord's public ministry begins with a washing in dirty, muddy river water among a sweaty crowd of ordinary, sinful people, foolish, weak, lowly, and despised people. It is the very reason that he came, though, to take all of it upon himself in that water, taking all that makes you dirty and carrying it all the way to a hill named Calvary, where he would die with it upon his shoulders, finishing the work of redemption for you. God indeed chooses foolish things of the world to reveal himself and his ways. A few ounces of water poured on a baby's head or an adult's. A few absolving words spoken by a pastor to those who have confessed. Simple bread and wine that becomes his body and blood administered to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the proper proclamation of God's law and gospel for all we simply hear. All of these are considered foolish, weak, lowly, boring, and despised by the world, sinful flesh, and especially the devil. But this is why St. Paul was also inspired to write, "When I am weak, then I am strong. For in your weakness, you see the might of the hand of God." Some of you might not be able to see this very well. I've held this up before, but I'm going to hold it up now. Those of you in the back, imagine Christ crucified on the blessed cross. Hear these words. "For in your weakness, you see the might of the hand of God through Christ crucified. Instead of your own strength, in your foolishness, you see God's wisdom. Instead of your own cleverness, in your lowliness, you see the Lord's righteousness. Instead of your own planning to uphold the law, and in being despised, you see the Lord's love and care of you. Instead of relying on the world's praise and adulation, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your holy baptism might not seem like all that much." It's like people think this is foolish, it's not much. And that is exactly why it is mighty. It's why it's holy and so rich in grace. Christian baptism is seen by the unbeliever as foolish, weak, lowly, and even despised, just as this is. That is exactly why you are brought to cling to it for dear life. Just as the Lord chose the Jordan River to be blessed by His Son's presence in it, to fulfill all righteousness for you, the water in baptismal fonts around the world has been chosen by God to put to shame the things that are wise, to put to shame the things that are mighty. For God's word attached to that common water puts Christ the crucified in the water for you to be baptized into, to bring about life. The words of Luther's catechetical hymn regarding holy baptism ring true just as much today as it was when he wrote it. "For there is nothing new under the sun," he penned, as you sang and confessed in the final verse, "all that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills bring healing, the wonders of His precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring His own pardon. There is the power of Jesus' merit. There is the crimson flood that to all your ills brings healing. There is the wonders of His precious blood, the love of God revealing. There is the assuring of His own pardon of you. For that is who you were baptized into, as He was baptized for you. By faith alone through Christ crucified, you are justified and given everything, as God's word from the epistle text proclaims. and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.